originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Barrage aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I am joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. I'd like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 201, and also to those of you listening to our website at horseracingradio.net. So a portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you are able to help, please visit the website at www.pdjf.org. So tonight we are joined by a woman who just made history. On July 11th, 2018, she broke the record at Delaware Park by winning 7 races on the card. She's currently leading rider with 36 wins for the meet. She was also a leading rider at Delaware in 2014, 15, and 2016. With 731 career wins and over $17 million in earnings, it's a pleasure to introduce jockey Carol Cedeno. Carol, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, Carol. And how did you feel on July 11th when you crossed the wire in front for the last race? You're riding an Arabian, actually. Tell us what you were feeling in that moment.
I feel exciting because not too many people can do that, and I do it.
You're actually the only one who did that. You broke the record. And
yes.
And that had to be just an absolute exciting feeling. Did you celebrate that night?
Yes. When I get home, my family was there, and they celebrate with me.
They had to be so proud of you, Carol.
Yes.
And do your parents live here in the States now?
Yes. Yes.
And you guys are originally from Puerto Rico. And,
yes, I'm from Puerto Rico.
And tell us, what was it like growing up in Puerto Rico? What was it like growing up in Puerto Rico?
In Puerto Rico, when I was a little, I always liked the horses. But I don't know about the racetrack. So one day my cousin, he got horses in the racetrack, but I never been there. So one day he say, do you want to go to the racetrack to see how it is and maybe do you like and you going to the school? And I say, yes, I go with my dad. And when I get there, I love it. So my dad signed everything and I'm starting this year.
So you quickly realized that
yes.
You wanted to be a jockey.
Yes. Yeah, when I got there, I love it. So they filled up the papers behind my mom. Yes, my mom don't want me over there, so they do it behind her.
Oh, no, she didn't even know.
Yes, but, you know, when she knows, she get mad, and she go to over there to take me out of school. And when the teacher talking to her, like, you know, she seem I gonna be okay with the horses and everything, she let me do it.
Well, that's good. Once she realized that this was your passion, she was okay with it.
Yeah, she was okay. I'm here. I'll make it.
You definitely did. And so you went through the jockey school there in Puerto Rico, which has a great reputation for producing such talented riders such as yourself. And tell us, how long does that program last and what is all involved? Do you start out rubbing horses or do you just start out riding right away?
No, you have to grooming horses, you have to clean the stall, you have to walk horses, and then you start get on horses, but not on the racetrack. You just get on jogging in the rampant. You jogging over there and you galloping slow, and then when they see you ready to go to the small track, because they got a small track only for the students. So when they see you ready to go to the small track, you start galloping over there. And then that's the first year. The second year, you start galloping in the big track with everybody. You have to be in the school 2 years.
So, Carol, tell us what it was like that first moment, maybe the first time you breezed a horse or the first time you galloped a horse and you felt that speed. Were you scared at all, or was it just a rush for you?
No, I don't scare.
So you loved it right away, yeah?
Yes.
Did it come easy for you?
Yes, not was that bad for me.
Were you always...
I learned fast.
Were you always athletic?
Huh?
Were you always athletic? Did you play sports as a kid?
Yes.
So you had that natural ability. And did you, you said the program lasted for 2 years. How old were you at this time?
When I was in the school, 16.
So you were young. So after you graduated from the school, did you immediately start riding races there in Puerto Rico?
Yes, because you graduate when you got 18, and they let you ride when you got 18. So, yes. I ride like for 3 months, I think, I stayed there, and then I come here.
So, how was it riding in Puerto Rico? How is it different there from the United States?
It's tough over there because they don't give a chance to the girls. They think they can do it, so they don't. It's tough over there. In here, you come here, you work hard in the morning, and everybody give you a chance, and a good chance. Over there, you can ride, but you're not gonna ride nothing good.
Wow, that's incredible. So the opportunities here are so much greater, especially for women. Mm-hmm. And what about the riders there? What's the riding like? What's the style like? Is it rough? What's the difference?
No, the riding is almost the same. It's the same.
So basically just the only difference is the opportunities you get here. And so you only stayed there for 3 months. And you decided to move to the States. Now, did you have an agent lined up here in the States?
Yes. Because I talked to one trainer over there, and her brother was agent in Philadelphia. The name is Jose Morales. He don't do it anymore, but he's the one called me, and they bring me to over here.
So you started riding at Parks?
Yes.
And what was it like? Was it a little bit of a culture shock? Did you speak English at all when you arrived?
No. When I come here, I don't speak no English.
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing. At least I understand now a little bit.
So how did you learn?
I just try to speak, I just try to listen what everybody told me. And when I come here, I try to take class. when I got days off, so I go to class for English, and I keep trying talking and trying, and I learn a little bit.
Yeah, you sound great, Carol. And what was it like for you when you first started riding at Parks? Did you take off right away?
Yes. Yes, I win. My first race I ride in Paris, I won.
Wow. So that had to catch people's attention then. And what's it like? What's your typical day like as a jockey? You mentioned you have to work horses in the morning. And then take us through a typical day.
My typical day, I wake up like 4 o'clock in the morning because the track open 5:30, so I always have something on 5:30. And I always open the track and close the track. I start 5:30 and the track close like 10:30. If I ride the first race, I just go straight to the jockey room. If I'm start a little bit late, I go home, take a shower, go see my kids, and then coming back to the racetrack.
So you open and shut the track down in the morning, and do you think it's obviously very important for a jockey to work hard in the mornings?
Yes, it's really important. That's why I'm doing it, because I'm a hard worker. I just try and work hard.
And that can be
better horses.
And that can be tough sometimes. Obviously, you don't get paid for your morning work. And mm-hmm. when you know, there in Delaware Park, you're in the middle. There's so many racetracks. I'm sure you travel a lot as well.
Yes. It's a very hard to ride everywhere.
Yeah, so to ride at night and then to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Can't be easy.
It's hard to wake up in the morning.
I'm sure it is. And tell us, also, you mentioned you have two children. So
yes.
Taking care of two kids on top of that busy schedule, that has to be tough.
Yes, it's very tough. But I got my mom. She lives with me, and she helped me a lot. If not was for her, I think I don't make it, because she helped me a lot with my kids.
That's fantastic. She's such a big help. And tell us about your kids.
So one has 6 years old, and the other one has 9 years old. The 9 years old is a girl. The other one is a boy. And the only thing I can say, I love my kids. And they don't like the racetrack.
Really?
No. They don't want to be in the racetrack. That's good.
You're happy about that?
Yes, I'm happy. I want they go to college.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they won't be future jockeys. For sure.
Yes.
Well, and their father was a jockey as well, yeah?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Angel Serpa. You were married to at one point, so they have it in their blood, but they're not going to follow in your footsteps.
Yeah, they don't want to. First, when they was a little more little, they say, like, I don't want to go to the school because I'm going to be a jockey. I don't need the school, and I just leave them. But right now, they grow up, and they don't even want to go to the racetrack.
Wow, so they don't even want to watch you ride?
No, they watch it at home in the TV, but they don't want to go to the racetrack.
It was a big difference from you, right, when you were young?
Yes.
Jockey Carol Sandaniel joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Carol, you said you started out at Parks. And yes. Where did you go from Parks?
After Parks, I try Monmouth. I'm doing good over there too. And then I go to New York. And I'm doing good over there too. When I lost my butt, like 1 month later is when I got my first baby. So I quit for a little bit. And I never coming back to New York.
What was it like riding in New York versus riding at Parks and Monmouth?
It's different world. Over there, everybody ride more quiet, you know, and here is more aggressive.
So it's more aggressive at Parks and Monmouth Park?
Yes. In New York, you can ride quiet and you wait to the stretch to move the horses. Around here, you have to be pay attention on everything. It's a little bit more rough.
Yeah, lots of smart riders there in New York now. Has anyone ever, taken you under their wing, a mentor to you here in the States? Any other riders?
Huh?
Has any other riders showed you the ropes, kind of taught you when you were younger and yes. first starting out? Who helped you out?
Everybody. And everywhere, always try to help the boys, to learn the right way.
Why is that important to teach young riders?
It's important because, sometimes you go over there, you don't know what you're going to do with the horses, and you make a lot of mistakes, and they told you, I'm sorry, how you had to do it to fix that or to make a better race. And if you want to learn, you learn. You have to take it.
Well, and it's also, you have to think about everyone's safety out there. And you yourself have suffered some pretty bad injuries. And
yes.
Tell us what keeps you coming back. You mentioned you got pregnant. You didn't know if you would ride again. And you came back. And then you had injuries.
Yes.
Tell us what makes you keep coming back.
So I got my first baby. And then I quit for a little bit. So I coming back because I like the horses. I know was working hard, just galloping in the morning, ride a couple horses. And I was like that for a little bit. And then I got my second baby. And after I coming back with the second baby is when I start working hard, I start doing good. And then one night in Panachana, I fell down and I fractured my back. Mm. So I had to be 1 year off because the doctor no want to give me the release. So when they give me the release, I'm going to start riding right away. So I go to Indiana. I'm doing good over there, and then I come here to Delaware, and I keep staying here, and I'm doing good.
Wow, so you broke your back, and
yes.
you were out for an entire year.
Yes.
And you just couldn't wait to get back.
Yes.
Right? What was that, when you came back from that injury, what was that first win like? That had to be pretty special.
Yes, was in Tampa.
Yeah.
When I coming back from my, was in Tampa, I ride for, in the last, before close, the last 2 weeks, I ride in Tampa. So I ride home, I've been galloping every day. In the morning for Dennis Ward. And they give me the shot to ride the horse, and he won. And that was exciting, coming back, ride a horse and win. And then was when with an agent coming from Indiana, and I just going over there.
I know exactly who you're talking about, Carol. Liz Morris, we've had her on the show before, and she's a good friend of mine. She's mentioned you before and, how she thought you were just such a great rider, and you guys worked together for a while. Now tell us, Carol, why is an agent so important?
The agent is very important because I gallop at the horses in the morning and I breathe, but I need somebody to get there and talk with the trainer and which race he gonna run and everything, because in the entry days, that's when they put the horses in, you look at the horse, but you don't know if another rider want to ride it. I call the trainer. If you have your agent, they try to stay with your horse, and they don't let the trainer put another jockey.
So they're handling your business, and they make sure you get named on the right horses, and you're yes. not just working for free, basically.
Yes, yes.
And so then you decided to stay in Delaware Park. And why did you make that decision?
I really like Delaware. I know the money, when I'm staying here, the money not was good. They want to be better now next year. But I love Delaware. I really love the way they train in the morning, in the afternoon. It's different. Everything is more quiet. I'm going to start doing good right away, so I don't want to move.
You know, why move when you're doing so well? Like I mentioned, Carol, during the introduction, you're leading rider of the current meet, of course, partially because of your big seven-win day, I should say, on July 11th. And you're doing so well there. And Delaware Park is such a beautiful track. And yeah. The people are great there. And as I mentioned earlier, there are so many neighboring tracks where you can travel to. You have so much business. You can go pretty much anywhere. Now, would you say Delaware Park is your favorite racetrack to ride at?
Oh, yeah, I love it. And I'm going to say, too, because my kids, they both listen to school, so I don't want to keep it moving, you know, like school and school and school. I think it's better for the kids, too.
Jockey Carol Cedeno joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Carol, you ride Thoroughbreds and you ride Arabians, and I would like to know, what's the difference?
The Arabian is a little bit slower than the Thoroughbred, and you have to wait to move to the quarterpole, because if you move too soon, you're not going to have a horse to the end.
So they
That's
have,
the only difference, yes.
So they have less in the tank, basically. You can only have so much.
Yes, just a little bit.
They have a reputation as being pretty high-spirited. Obviously, Thoroughbreds are as well, but would you say they're a little bit crazier than Thoroughbreds?
I don't know. I think that Arabian is smart horses.
They're smart?
Yes.
So now, Carol, let me ask you this. You've won 731 races in your career. I'm sure you've ridden thousands of horses. Who's your favorite?
My favorite horse?
Mm-hmm.
I got one filly. I don't remember the name right now. But I ride that filly because nobody wanted to ride it. And I rode it first time out in the turf because everybody say she's sore and, you know. So I ride her. She went first time out, and then I win like six in the road with her.
Wow.
Yes, and then she got her.
Mm. So would you say then you obviously got along so well with that particular filly? Would you say certain riders get along well with certain horses?
Yes. Yes.
I remember...
Yeah, with some horses, yes.
I remember I read an article online, Carol, about you, and I think you were riding at Indiana. And you got named on this horse, and the trainer didn't know you were a girl.
Yes.
Tell us that story.
I just go into the paddock, and I say hi to the trainer and to the owners. And the trainer looked at me, oh, are you a girl? I say, yes. Oh, why you agent don't tell me you are a girl? And I just stay quiet. I don't know what I'm going to tell him back. He say, if I know you are a girl, I don't put you on the horse. And I say to her, don't worry about it. You want to win the race with me. And he don't laugh. He was so serious. But I won the race.
Wow.
Yes. Did he you was luchating. She was like 31. And I won the race by a nose.
Wow.
And after that, they always called my agent to put me on them horses. And he get mad when my agent say, I can ride your horse.
So he rode you all the time after that?
Huh?
He rode you always after that?
Yes, after that, yes. That's... And when he can, when I can ride for him, he get mad.
That's amazing. Now, would you say, we only have about a minute left here on the show, Carol. Would you say, has it become better for girl riders here in the States? Obviously, you know, years ago we had these great women who kind of set the stage and did so much. Julie Crone, Barbara Jo Rubin, just to name a couple names. But would you say it's come a long way since then? Is it pretty good for a girl rider these days?
Yes, he's better. He's better.
And what do you tell those people who doubt you as a woman?
Huh?
What do you tell those people that doubt you as a woman rider? You just, like that guy, you just tell them you'll win for them, right?
Yes, I just want to tell, like, no matter why you are a woman or not, the woman do the same job to the boys and sometimes better because I think the woman is more quiet on the horses, and not every horse is want to use rush. And a lot of horses like to be, you know, quiet on hand. And that's why language.
Well, Carol, we are all out of time. It has been such a pleasure hearing your story and wishing you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website at horseracingradio.net. While you're there, check out all of the other great shows you can find here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, like Trainer Talk, Equine Forum, Express Bet Radio, just to name a few. And be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Della Pina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use their monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Pena of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcotte. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too. And I thank you.